Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The state's opioid lawsuit came to a close this week with a judgment against Johnson & Johnson of $574 million. Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter spoke with Russell Mills about what this means for the state of Oklahoma.
You've had a busy day, yeah?
Well, yeah, it's been busy. We're doing our best to get the word out to folks, helping them understand what this judgment means and what we're going to be able to do to help people in the state who need help. So appreciate the opportunity to get on with you, Russell.
Absolutely, because you know our goal is to do just that, help you get that message out to folks. So let's talk a little bit about the decision. I think, I don't know, in a boxing match, they might have called it a split decision. It wasn't what you were asking for, but then it wasn't a loss either. I guess put it on a scale of 1 to 10, your satisfaction with the verdict of this judge.
Well, there are two important things to understand about the judge's decision. Number one, the state now has potentially, and you know, we're going to get through these appeals and
right.
This money's going to be in the state treasury. But the state now with the other two settlements has $1 billion that it's going to be able to deploy to deal with the epidemic. We're going to need to be focused with this money. You know, our approach was talking to experts, talking to scientists who deal with these kind of issues, rehabilitation and treatment. It's a very long tail, and our approach was let's shoot for the moon here. Let's try to put together an abatement plan that's going to conclusively, decisively deal with our state's problems over a long period of time. And so, you know, we were proposing that. We didn't get the $17 billion, but anytime you can get $500 million to deal with a problem at the state level, you've got to call it a W. I was telling somebody the other day, whether you win by 17 points or 1 point, it's still a W. And we're very happy with the decision. We're happy with the judge's findings that Johnson & Johnson was responsible. Johnson & Johnson was practicing fraud. They engaged in misconduct with trying to tell prescribers that prescription opioids weren't addictive. At the end of the day, we're very happy with where we've ended up, and I look forward to working with the judge and state leaders again to make sure that we get this money where it needs to go.
So the gist of your argument to that judge, and let's remind folks, this was a bench trial. There was no jury. This
True.
Was all in the hands of the judge. A very deliberate a strategic choice on your part, and something that you explained to us early on why you were going with the nuisance lawsuit, because you wanted a bench trial. And if I remember correctly, a lot of that had to do with all the shenanigans that were, you know, a possible if you had to seat a jury and how long it was going to take and all the motions and everything. So this was a way of cutting to the chase and getting this case in court.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yeah. So Russell, the delay tactics that the defendant was engaging in were really just designed to put this trial off almost into perpetuity. And we were expending so much time that we wanted to spend in a courtroom that we looked at two things. How do we simplify the issues? How do we get this case before a trier of fact? And secondly, how do we ensure that our theory is going to be framed in a way that gets the most return for the state and, again, the people who need to be part of, you know, how we abate the epidemic in the state, need to be a focus. So when we settled on public nuisance, that allowed us, again, to get the case to trial before a judge that we had confidence in the sense we knew he was going to be wise and careful and objective and fair, because we want this to be upheld on appeal. And that was a big part of our calculus as well, because you can get yourself in a situation with a jury where you've got mistakes that can be addressed on appeal. And when you have a judge, a trier of fact, you're able to avoid a lot of that. So it was all a part of the strategy. Where we ended up is we have a decision that holds this defendant accountable, that inventories in a very specific way the misconduct, the misfeasance that the defendant engaged in. Anytime you can get $500 million again to deal with a state problem, you've done something significant, and we very much consider this a big victory for the state.
So the $17 billion, the thought was that would help remediate this problem for years to come. Obviously,
yes.
With the lower settlement, it'll be more of a short-term approach, at least initially. Now, I guess the question becomes, well, if we take that money and we start this program, what happens when the money's gone, or is that just entirely in the hands of the legislature, what they want to do from there? Or I don't know if you even would have anything to do with that, but what are your thoughts?
Well, we're already modeling that and this is really going to be an exercise of consultation with the great leadership we've got in a lot of the state agencies, the legislature and the governor. We'll make sure that this money goes a long way, that this money goes to where it needs to go. As I said, we understand the problem. We know the various areas where funding needs to be deployed. And the pressure's on, certainly, for us to use this money wisely and well. But I'm confident that, again, working with the judge, working with state leaders, we can make this money go a long way.
And going back to the public nuisance part of it, that was a unique strategy. I think that you pulled one out of the hat that nobody really saw coming. It worked. Clearly, you got the verdict, and let's not downplay that. Like you said, this is a W. So that also, though, seems to be where the Johnson & Johnson attorneys appear to be focusing their thoughts on appeal. Are you pretty confident that this is going to stand?
We are, and there's a lot of game playing going on the part of the defendant with regard to this theory. Look, this theory was challenged before this judge multiple times. He thoughtfully reviewed the case law and the arguments that the defendants made, and he found that public nuisance law applied to this. So what you've got, you have to show, first of all, that there is significant harm that's occurring to citizens. But the most important part of all this is you got to show causation. And so all the hand-wringing that's going on from different sectors over this being, some kind of a invitation to products liability lawsuits just doesn't scour. When you show the causation elements that we provided the judge, when you show them the activity of this defendant, when you show them that they oversupplied this drug to Oklahomans and Americans by 10 times more than it was supplied back in 96, and that deaths increased by a factor of 15 attributable to prescription opioid overdoses, you've got causation. So demonstrating all the harm, deaths, and addiction, and showing the various ways that they were a cause of it, that was all very clearly part of our case. The evidence obviously supported that, the testimony. The judge thoughtfully reviewed all that for 7 weeks. And so we've got a record that we're confident will stand on appeal. And that's always been, part of how we approached this case. We wanted a record that we knew we could defend on appeal.
Yesterday at the press conference, immediately following the announcement of the verdict, someone asked you how he arrived at that figure. And you're like, well, we haven't exactly read the whole, 48 pages or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's a long opinion.
So you've had a little more time to digest. Do you know how he came up with that figure, 572 million? It was down to the dollar.
Yeah, it was.
Where the math comes from?
Well, we're still reviewing the judge's opinion. Again, my commitment to all your listeners is we're going to work with state leaders to make sure that money is spent wisely and well. Where we go from here with regard to ensuring that we've got sufficient funds to deal with the state's epidemic is a function of how we approach this with a judge, with state leaders. Secondly, there are other potential defendants that we are looking at. So I would just ask everybody to stay tuned.
That's interesting. So you're not done. You, not only do they have the appeal, but you're considering additional actions against other defendants. I'm curious. I know your phone's been ringing off the hook from pesky reporters, myself included. But what about?
I would never use that adjective to describe a reporter, Russell.
But I do because I know how we work. But let me ask you this: Has your phone been ringing from? There are 2,000 something lawsuits pending, similar to what Oklahoma brought. We led the nation, and let's give you props for that. This was the first case of its kind to come to court.
It was.
And you've been working on it, and it wasn't anything you put together overnight. We first started talking about this like the day you took office, if I remember right.
2 years.
So are other attorneys general, are other, law makers and legal experts ringing you up and saying, hey, how did you get there and what did you do? And we'd kind of like to do what you guys did in Oklahoma.
Well, those conversations actually began a good while back. We've been able to get a lot of evidence in the public domain as a result of the trial being televised. There's a record out there now for others who are, trying to get redress for their clients, their constituents. So that's been ongoing. And, I've gotten a few calls today. And if we can be helpful to other attorneys general around the country, making sure that their constituents are taken care of, that their problems are addressed in their particular states, I'm happy to be a part of that.
State Attorney General Mike Hunter. Tulsa County has a new website. KRMG's Russell Mills talked with Michael Willis about the information included on the new website and how it can make the task easier if you have to contact the county.
It sounds like the new website's online, and this sort of falls in line with some of the other information that you guys have made publicly available and just trying to sort of modernize all the county records system. Kind of tell us what this latest change means.
Well, when I started this job in 2017, we put up a website that had some good information on it and sort of all the basics about my office and those sorts of things going on in the county clerk's office. But recently we revamped the website. We have, over the last couple of years, we have added literally hundreds of thousands of land records to our site that are free. Not all of our records are free yet, but a whole lot of them are. And so there's information on this website about the operation of my office, the five different divisions that we have, lots of land records information, lots of financial reports. A couple of years ago, we started a transparency initiative at Tulsa County that we use a service provider that we partner with to provide the county's checkbook, dynamic budget information, and all that stuff is all accessible on my website at countyclerk.tulsacounty.org.
Okay, countyclerk.tulsacounty.org.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to go there right now. Okay. All right, so this is it's part of the county web system, but a separate part, right?
Right. We have our main domain at tulsacounty.org, and most all of the elected offices have a separate website or web page that's also part of that. At least the tulsacounty.org will link to my page, that from the treasurer's office, the sheriff's office, and things like that. But this is a separate website that's designed and maintained by our IT department on our behalf here in the office. So it's a little more unique with a little more specialized information than that what's on available at the county's main website.
Okay, and who did this for you? Is this something you guys did in house, or did you go outside and hire somebody to put this together? It's a nice looking site.
No, we're really lucky that the county has a great IT department. And a part of the IT department, we have at least one gentleman who's a web designer and helps us with projects like this. So between work from folks in my office and our IT department, we were able to get this put together. And, we spent a lot of time and manpower on it, but we didn't spend any extra money contracting with anyone to do any of this.
Right. So describe for me the difference between what was available and what is there now, or was any of this available previously?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff was available. It was just presented differently. And we had kind of made a, you know, over the last 2.5 years or so, we had just added things to the site as time went on. But it's a lot better organized now. It's a lot easier to look at. And outside of having my picture on the front page here, it's really a pretty nice website.
Okay, now you're just being humble. But you do look very official in your photo, I will say.
Oh, thank you.
It's a very official.
But, I mean, I would like to probably direct folks' attention to the two top things that strike my interest on this website is our transparency initiative, which is on the tab on the far right. And then we have information in our real estate services area, and that's all land records. One of the other things that we've started a couple years ago was we publish forms that people can use when they come to our office. So if you were needing to file a new deed for your house, change some information on a deed, or several other different actions that can happen through my office, you can get a lot of those forms online now rather than going to see a specialist, a title company, or buy documents at an office supply. So these documents are available to the public for their use, and it's been a really good thing for customer service.
And does it also help you guys from just having, you know, less foot traffic, able to spend more time, you know, dealing with a customer that does need help instead of having to hunt down forms and just have people coming in and out? I mean, I know that's...
Yeah, I mean, we love having folks come in the office for sure, but a lot of times what used to happen before we put these forms online is folks would come in not really knowing what they need, and then we would let them know, hey, you need this form, and they would have to leave the office, which means they would have to come back later, pay to park again, take the time that it takes out of their work schedule or anything else going on in their life to come down here. And so something that could take one trip, and most of these things when people come in the office to handle these items now takes, you know, less than 30 minutes. And before, you know, they'd have to show up a couple times, again, pay to park a couple times, and it was not nearly as convenient as it is now.
I got to say, I'm looking at the list of forms that are available online here, and most of them, I don't know what they mean. So I'm guessing unless you really need one of these forms, you would never go looking for one, right?
Probably not. You know, usually at least a few times in everyone's life, they need to fill out some sort of form like this, whether they're buying a house, if they run a business where they have, where they may place liens on folks for non-payment of services, those sorts of things. You know, every person every day is not thinking about these forms, but when they do need them, it's a whole lot better to have them here available to fill out and come in and file in the office rather than go pay for a stack of forms that they're only ever going to need one of.
Are these forms the kind that you can fill out and then print, or do you print them and then...
They are. Yeah, they're fillable forms, so you can fill them out online, you know, after you open them up. You can print them off at your house. You can get the appropriate signatures and get them notarized and even mail in your form with the filing fees included in there. So, you know, it can help people keep from having to come downtown to file these documents in person at all if they choose. But certainly it saves time with having them fillable. And it helps us be able to read them better when we get them in the office because they're typed instead of hand-filled out. So it's kind of a win-win-win.
But then, you click through and there it is. There's your PDF of whatever you might need. There are several different forms here. And as you said, it can all be filled out right there on your computer. So that's very cool. And again, a win-win because it saves people time, saves them trips, but it also makes the operations of the county clerk's office more efficient, right?
It does. It does. You know, we file anywhere from 500 to 1,000 forms and instruments each day. And so, you know, these standardized forms are really easy for us to handle because they're easy for our folks to do data entry off of. And, you know, they get the job done for us.
Michael Willis. Special thanks to KRNG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.